read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Paul, now, just a little background before I actually read from verse 1. Paul is speaking. This is a continuation from 1 Corinthians 9. Where in verse 19, he's in this context. He says, although I'm free and I belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I become weak, to win the weak. I have become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into a strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So we see the goal here. What we do, our incentive in serving is salvation for them and for us. Right? We run as if what's at stake is important. We live as if what we believe is real. And this is what Paul's way of saying that. And so he goes on to say, for I do not want you to be ignorant, verse 1, chapter 1 Corinthians 10, of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now, what is the object here? People have read this for centuries, and they're still not getting the object of what Paul's talking about. Look at the context of him going into it. He doesn't enter into this lightly. And he makes the point that he is willing to do whatever it takes, right, to serve this gospel. He's willing to be whatever he has to be to preach this gospel, to serve this gospel, to serve God. And if in a race, if people are just going through the training ritual and the hard work and the effort they put in just to win an earthly crown, what kind of effort should we be putting in this if we're trying to win an eternal one? When he uses the examples of somebody, you know, a man running aimlessly or a man beating the air, those are people who are spending a lot of effort without purpose. Now, this brings us to a fine point, doesn't it? Effort without purpose. We see two points that are staring us in the face here. We see by his description that you can spend a lot of effort without purpose and not get anywhere. And we can also see the quality of the purpose you're spending effort on. Now make that comparison. Some people have a purpose of something they're chasing, but it's a very low purpose compared to what you're offered. Right? How many of you see that? It's nothing compared to what you're offered. And they will put what it takes to win that earthly thing. You've seen people who will do anything to be rich, and people who will do anything to be famous, and people who will do anything to win a certain prize, to win a certain person's affection, to whatever it is that they will do. And they have a purpose, and they'll strive hard for it, and they'll do what it takes to get it because that is the object of their desire. But notice that the quality of that purpose does not come anywhere near the quality of our purpose. Because our purpose is eternal. The object of our desire is a crown that is eternal. It is a life that is forever. Now, there's a lot of people who say that they're in it for this purpose, but look at what they're doing because they have no direction. How many of you people have put in a lot of effort to being a Christian only to see so much failure because you didn't have a direction to go? Because you didn't have a clear insight as to what it is you're fighting for. When you just had a fuzzy idea of I want to be good for God, or I want to be happy, or I want to be, you know, where God will approve of me so I don't get just punished, or, but it's a very fuzzy idea about what's going to happen at the end of this. This fuzzy idea of I'm going to go to heaven. Can we compare a person and I want you to think about it. Can we compare a person who is fighting flesh with flesh as if it was somebody beating the air? Because can flesh overcome the power of sin? If you were to take on the prince and the powers of the air, are any of your punches going to connect? Are you going to win? Are you going to overcome the prince powers and principalities by fighting other people? Like, for example, will the Catholics obtain their idea of heaven because they slaughtered enough French Huguenots or Protestants? No, it doesn't work that way, does it? Are you going to make heaven because you won a bunch of arguments with people who don't believe what you believe? Are the Muslims going to make it into heaven with 72 versions because they killed everybody who didn't agree with them? And this is the point is, flesh can't win against flesh. It is as if a man is beating his hands against the air. Because you know what? You can't control other people. And that's supposed to be a symbol to you. That's supposed to be a sign. Because you can't control the powers and principalities either, can you? If a demon were to stand right there in front of you, with all of your effort, you could not land a single punch, could you? Flesh cannot win. Flesh and blood cannot win. Flesh definitely cannot overcome the desires and the nature of flesh. That's what it means. That's what it means. How about a man gonna run in a race? If he has no direction, then, in other words, if he doesn't know where the starting place is and where the ending point is, then he is running aimlessly. How's he ever gonna win that race? He's not even on the course. You begin to see Paul's point here? So these two glaring things stand out. Lack of focus of direction and purpose, and trying to fight against the powers and principalities and against this nature with the power of flesh. Neither one of these things will end up in a victor's crown. Paul says, no, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now, think about this. What is the one thing when you've received Jesus that you have control over? You. Right? You can't control other people, their decisions or their lives, and we've been talking about manipulation and meddling and everything else. And you sure can't control the powers and principalities. Right? But you can control you. Your body, you can lay down and sacrifice. Your body, you can crucify. Your members, you can yield to God. Right? Now, keep those things in mind that we were just talking about, and let me read on. For I do not want you to be ignorant about the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered over the desert. There's an advantage that they had, and they still dropped dead in the desert. And he wants you to look at what the forefathers went through. They were given direction, right? Purpose and purpose. Through the cloud led them by day, right? Pillar of fire by night. They were given direction. They were all enabled by God. Not to kill the Egyptians. God took care of that. Not to provide a life for themselves. God took care of that. God separated the waters. God gave them direction, and he gave them a choice. He gave them the ability to control one thing, themselves. They had a choice not to grumble, right? They had a choice to follow or get left behind. They had a choice to be obedient. They had all of this direction. Moses in the cloud and the sea, they all ate the same spiritual food that God provided. They all drank from the same spiritual drink that God provided that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered over the desert. That's what they were given, and they still, they had purpose and direction. And they still screwed it up. Now, why is he showing you this? Because what they did was according to the flesh. Right? They ran back to their nature rather than follow God in faith. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Not to be idolaters as some of them were. It is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. And we should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us. God has shown that you cannot please him in the flesh, and he showed us through these people. See, if God, without changing your nature, had given you purpose and direction, you'd have still screwed up. You understand? Because in the flesh, it's impossible to please God. Y'all be getting to get the point here? These happy things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. And if their judgment was harsh in the flesh, how much will yours be? Because God has empowered you. He has enabled you through the power of the Holy Ghost. Because listen what all this means for you. All right? As they passed through the sea, guess what? They were all baptized in the sea, right? The Red Sea. That's the baptism. And it pictures the baptism of Christ, because they walked over death as if it were dry land. They passed from Egypt, this world, across the Red Sea into the wilderness. They walked over death, the sea, as if it were dry land. That's baptism. That's dead to one world and alive to the other. That's the power and the promise of the resurrection. The cloud led them once they were in the wilderness. The cloud is the Holy Ghost. Pillar of fire by night, cloud by day. They were all baptized in that cloud, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, of which you have, of which they had the picture. Right? That's what you have, the reality of that, where they had the picture. They ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. They ate manna from heaven, right? Bread from heaven. Have you eaten the body and blood of Jesus? Water from the rock, Jesus? Have you eaten his body and drank his blood? You did the reality of which they only did the pictures, manna and water from the rock. They drank from the same spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occur as an example to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things, as they did, to not be idolaters, as some of them were. See, you have the power, because you have the reality, and where they had these pictures, you have the reality. Something that they could have greeted through faith that most of them did not. That whole generation's bodies dropped dead in the wilderness, except for who? Somebody tell me. Except for who? Besides Joshua and Moses, except for who? Remember the 10 spies that were set out? Joshua and Caleb. See, they got to enter in. Everyone else dropped dead. that whole generation. And that's also a picture for you. Because what must drop dead in this wilderness is those things of the flesh, so that the child inside may enter. And this wilderness is made for that. Here in this wilderness, and this is what God is telling you, hear it. This is where you destroy the idolater. It's in this wilderness. This is where you destroy the grumbler. It's in this wilderness. This is where you destroy the part of you that would indulge in pagan revelry and commit sexual immorality. This is where you destroy that part of you. It must drop dead in this wilderness, in this world. Because what will enter across the Jordan is that child of God in you. So let's add this in direction and purpose. Part of your purpose is for that part of you here to die and drop dead here. That is the direction and the word and the purpose that God is showing you today. You are going for an eternal crown. And every part of you that was settled for less must die here. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. That's sin. But guys. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. If it was common to them, the people of God, that he led out of Egypt by the hand, to where they all, that whole generation, dropped dead in the wilderness before it was over, then how will you escape if you walk as they did? You must learn from them. You must see through faith. You must seize hold of direction and purpose and cling to them. You must allow those instincts of this world to die. That's what it means to mortify the flesh. Lest they keep you from crossing the Jordan with Joshua, who is Jesus, into a new world, into a land of milk and honey. That's the forever. See, where it was hidden from them, how long it would be, it is not hidden from you. That 40 years is about the test, it's about the trial. It is for the testing of your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, though tried by fire, that it may result in glory, honor, right, when you enter in at Jesus' return. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand under it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? You know what it means to have a participation in the blood of Christ? suffer with him and die with him. That's what it means. To be found in the likeness of his innocence, you must be found in the likeness of his death. Amen? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifice participate in the altar? Do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I want you to think about this. We talked about those who were beating the air, those who would spend their life chasing after a direction and purpose of their own choosing, a direction and purpose that only has you know, access for this world and a prize in this world. And I'm telling you, those sacrifices that they make to get there are sacrifices to demons. Because anybody who has sacrificed anything to get ahead in this world has sacrificed to the powers and principalities of this world, whether he realizes that's what he's done or not. Because I tell you, no one achieves, you know, fame and riches and all of those things and high office apart from God by his own strength. He has help. And he makes sacrifices. And if those sacrifices aren't things that he's made to God, who did he make them to? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. Therefore, I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. And this tells you something. You cannot chase that prize of the world and chase God's prize too. You have to choose one. Because in one way, it's chasing your desires, and the other, it's chasing God's desires for you. Which is it? You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are you trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Do you really understand the depth of what the apostle is telling us here? Now, there's a second part of this when we get to verse 23, and I want to talk about that. I want to save that for tomorrow. Because this is the part you need to focus on, that we all do. You have to ask yourself, what race am I in? Do you understand? What am I chasing? What crown is it that I seek? You want to clear out the cobwebs in your relationship to God? You want clarity of where it is you're going? Clarity of what God's will is for you? I'm telling you, as long as you have two affections fighting each other, the way will never be clear. If you have an affection for the things of this world and an affection for God, you cannot serve two masters. That's confusion. Because one day you'll chase one thing and another day you'll chase another. Do y'all see that, right? You make choices every day that either solidify your relationship with God or diminish it. Every day. And if you're serving your own desires, then you're chasing what the pagans chase. God doesn't want any of us just running around like chickens with our heads cut off, as those beating the air. Struggling against our own natures and struggling against the powers and principalities, because you'll never win that way. That's somebody who's blind and doesn't know who he's fighting. You understand? God doesn't want you to run aimlessly. Without direction. God doesn't want you to run without purpose. And purpose and direction is what He supplies through the Spirit. Purpose, direction, and what's the third thing? The change of your nature. In other words, the power to fulfill His will. The power to follow that direction. The power to fulfill that purpose. Because those who have chosen their own destinies sit with Antichrist upon their hearts, and that's a fact. And the table that they partake of is not the table of the Lord. So you want to have clarity of not only your direction, but who it is you partner with? There you go. That's a good place to stop. Please, questions or comments?